well and good developing your Tai Chi to an enlightened level in the confines and safety of a classroom, but if you can't perform on the street, what value has this walled garden approach to life? Find out today why you should be practicing outside the class, how you should be practicing outside the class, and where you should be practicing outside the class. Today's episode of Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. Say, hey Teapot, where is the best place to practice my Tai Chi? On top of the Wudan Mountain? Deep inside the Chen village? Or at my local Shaolin temple? And I always say, sure. And while you're over there, get yourself a nicely ironed yellow satin suit and maybe a jade tassel to hang from your mobile phone case. Because you're not talking Tai Chi, you're talking Tai Chi fluff. And as we say here in Spain, tonterías. Bean-curd boxers all over the world practice where they are. And unless you live in your classroom 24 hours a day, then you're going to have to take your Tai Chi out onto the street. So today we're focusing on the why, the how, and the where. And there are three main reasons why you should practice outside the class. Firstly, unless you learn how to employ the techniques to your daily life, Tai Chi will remain a simple pastime, a bit like collecting bottle tops. In order for Tai Chi to become something more than this, you have to practice at home, at work, and even out on the street. Practicing in parks, public spaces, and many different locations helps to build confidence and shift your place of attention. For example, each year as May approaches, I haul one local class of mine outside the studio and onto the street. We invade a park, a square, a large public space, and begin to do the form, sword drills or qigong. Initially, everybody dreads it. They fear they may be seen by someone they know, YouTubed without their consent, or just ridiculed by passing teenagers. But learning to let go of these fears is partly what it's all about. They all come round in the end. Practicing outside also marks the beginning of the process of internalizing your Tai Chi. Most of us don't have a handy Taoist temple on the corner of our street to go and meditate in when we feel a bit stressed out. Most of us live in urban environments that are often noisy, dirty, and densely populated. We must learn to work within this environment rather than flee from it. So do the form in public and don't worry about how you are being seen and what others are thinking of you. This is normal. No one likes to do things badly or incorrectly, least of all in public, as it does little to boost your self-confidence. But one way of overcoming this is to practice regularly outside. The first time is always difficult, the second less so, and the third much easier. Over time, as you get used to people stopping, watching, and moving on, your practice shifts inside again. And although you never close down the awareness of what is happening around you, there is an important change in where to place your focus and where to concentrate your energy. This is the lesson you cannot learn in the confines of the classroom, where the environment is completely controlled, manipulated, and secured. Under these conditions, it's easy to imagine you are at one with the Tao. But at some time, you've got to step outside. Now, some of you may be saying, yes, but what happens when people start pointing or jeering or throwing asparagus at you as you crouch down into squatting single whip?
Uh-oh.
Well, take it as a compliment. In fact, take the asparagus home. It means that you're not being completely ignored. And that seeing someone perform Tai Chi in a public space is still considered something quite special. Which brings me on to the second reason why we practice outside. And that is to share what you are doing. Many people actually love watching the slow movements. It makes them feel relaxed. And all that internal and external vibration is going out into the great universe around you. But yet here, in front of your very eyes, people are responding to that energy. So learn to pay attention to what's happening around you as you practice. Pay attention even to the animals. How do the birds respond flying over? Do cats come out to watch, or do they slink away in fear? Do dogs bark incessantly or follow you around as you slide from one fair lady to another? I remember once doing the form in the middle of a field in southern England, and gradually all the cows at the other end started to drift towards me. By the time I'd finished the form, I was completely encircled by a group of grass-munching herbivores, all with their eyes fixed on me, all munching away with great interest. It was wonderful. Of course, you may be one of those that don't notice such things and close your eyes when doing the form and travel off to other dimensions. Which brings me to reason number 3. There are some people that practice martial arts and at the same time live in other galaxies. They hover their way into the class, lighting incense as they enter, wearing their shiny iron satin suits, their dry clean Chinese slippers, quoting Lao Tzu and tossing their yarrow sticks onto the ground before them to help them decide which direction to face so they can sign the register. If this rings a bell, then stop watching the trailer. It's time to sit back and catch the whole movie. My advice, you need to practice outside. Because you can't do all this nonsense outside, you can't control your environment. You must adapt to it. You must test the flexibility of your teachings. Hallelujah. So where should you go? Well, that's down to you and the place you live in. But bear in mind that playing Tai Chi in the middle of a roundabout or at a busy motorway junction may not be conducive to good concentration or air quality. So go out in the rain, or after it stopped raining, during a mist, or after a recent snowfall. Each condition will bring with it its own qualities, and can only be discovered once you leave the confines of your centrally heated or air-conditioned bedroom. But leave the incense at home. Leave the satin suit in the dry cleaners. Leave the yarrow stalks with the dog. Go out and explore. That's all for this week. We're now out of time. For more on practical techniques for taking your Tai Chi out onto the street, see the relevant chapters, Standing Like a Flamingo, Driving Like a Tortoise, Walking Like a Cat, or Yodeling Like Tarzan. These are all in the manual of Bean Curd Boxing, Tai Chi, and the Noble Art of Leaving Things Undone. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Finally, why not drop by the Facebook page and leave a comment there? A thumbs up or thumbs down. Leave an appreciative comment or an insult. I'm not fussy, but it would be good to hear from you. Catch me at www.facebook.com/TheBeanCurdBoxer, or one word. Just do a search for Bean Curd Boxer. And make sure you don't miss next week's thrilling episode as we start a new series on the conflicting issue of whether Tai Chi has now transcended or is still chained to its martial history. For an alternative look at the internal arts, visit teapotmonk.com for controversial articles, heated discussions, insightful interviews, and links to the two classic texts on Tai Chi, the Manual of Bean Curd Boxing, and of course, Tai Chi 50 Essential Questions and Answers. Got a comment or a suggestion? Tweet me at BeanCurdBoxer or email BeanCurdBoxer@gmail.com.